The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this second Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will reflect on our Gospel from John and talk about the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Spirit. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Women can experience a spiritual exercises retreat designed especially for them at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, the weekend of January 23rd through 26th. It's a weekend steeped in Scripture and the sacraments and is based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. It's designed to help people go deeper into their relationship with Jesus through the power of prayer and quiet time with our Lord. Why not take a quiet vacation with Jesus and let your spirit be renewed? For complete information and to register, visit OurLadyOfCorpusChristi.org or call 361-289-9095.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Fine, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good. I hope everyone else out there that's listening is well today as well.
That's right. Well, our gospel today is from John, so if we can prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel.' John testified further, saying, 'I saw the Spirit come like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Just a little bit of trivia before we start into this gospel. Since the beginning of Advent, we've been having our Gospels from Matthew, and all of a sudden we have this Gospel from John. So I was wondering why that was, and it's in my lector book, it said, in each of the three lectionary cycles of readings, this particular gospel comes from John's narrative and continues about the manifestation of Jesus.
You know, we are in the A cycle. We have three Sunday cycles, mm-hmm. A, B, C, and now we are beginning on this second Sunday of Ordinary Time. We begin that cycle, and yet it's almost like there's a little trick. You know,
right.
John's gospel is slipped in here, but if we read it in light of what we read last Sunday on the baptism of the Lord, it's really almost like an explanation. So it's like last Sunday, it was the meeting of the two cousins, John and Jesus. And here,
right.
It's of course John's gospel was written last, so it's like a spiritual mm-hmm. commentary upon this what we call the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And here he says, "I didn't know him." But instead of saying, "I can't baptize you," the mature reflection is, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the one who is to take away the sins of the world, who came after me and yet ranks before me." So it's a real theological, spiritual reflection, mm-hmm. you might say, in the person of John the Baptist upon what actually happened there. And almost as if John knew that whoever the Spirit rested upon, this would be the Savior. So again, it's in the light of, because the church community in the person of John and wrote the Gospels. So it's you can tell there's a deep reflection on the event of Jesus' baptism. It was not just a matter of pouring water. This is the one, again, as we said last week. So it is a little bit of a twist because we are reading Matthew's Gospel, and yet it's that commentary on the life of baptism, which we hope to talk about a little bit more today.
Right. And John mentions, behold, the Lamb of God.
Right. You know, there was a church in Houston that I, when I was growing up, St. Teresa's, where I was in the first 2 years of school. And when they built the new church, I remember it very vividly. There was that above the altar, there was the figure of the Lamb with the triumphant flag pole as well as, you know, the sword and a bit of drops of blood, right, figuratively there. And it always fascinated me as a child, and then even today when I think it's still there. Mm-hmm. But the Lamb, that title, the Lamb of God. And I think we could look just for a moment of what is referred to here, possibly a couple of things that John could be reflecting on: the Passover. If you remember the time of Passover, which right, is the time of freedom, mm-hmm, liberation, restoration of a people, the mm-hmm people of Israel, that in order to not be caught into the angel of death, mm-hmm, as we say, they sacrificed the lamb and took the blood of the lamb and painted it on their doorpost,
right,
so that the angel of death would pass over mm-hmm the people of Israel for their freedom, so that they right could escape slavery. So it's a tremendous symbolism for the Jewish people, for one thing, but also for us, mm-hmm, seeing in Christ as that final lamb of sacrifice. We also know that in the temple sacrifice, which was a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, that the spotless lamb, the spotless animal, was to be brought for sacrifice. And so all this symbolism, of course, is in the life of John, the life of the early church, knowing these two events, and there's others, but those two. So when John says, behold, the Lamb of God, this is no longer just an animal sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin, which is what was used at the time, but now this is God's Son. This is God right himself in the person of Jesus coming to sacrifice himself. So it's a very profound theological, spiritual statement for us, for John, the one who is to do the baptism, to mm-hmm say, this is the Lamb of God. It's, mm-hmm, it's a declaration of recognition of faith. This is God's Lamb for us, the one who will be sacrificed for us.
Right.
And he comes after in the sense that John was the precursor. John was the one, the prophet, that was preparing the way, as we read through Advent. But he, as John says, he came after me, but he ranks ahead of me.
Right.
Because he's God and man. He's God's incarnate Son.
Well, when I was reading this, reviewing this again before we met, I almost thought that there was a typo in this gospel, because behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yeah, I seem to think it would be sins of the world.
Right. Well, there is a slight distinction there. And it's interesting you bring that up, because you can notice that in Mass. And I think many of us may not even recognize, but probably today, for those who are on their way to Mass, you might want to just pay attention, because in the Gloria that we say after the penitential rite, we say, glory to God in the highest. And we talk about Jesus taking away the sin. If you look, it's the singular, but it's the universal sin. It's the reality of sin. You might say it's the original sin. Mm-hmm. It's the world of sin. So it's a singular noun in the sense that it's all sin. It's breaking through the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of darkness, and all that that implies, not our individual sins that are pointed to here, but the world of sin. And it's a universal statement.
Kind of all-encompassing?
All-encompassing, mm-hmm, you know, the world of sin, that Jesus comes in, the Lamb of God comes to take away that, which means to introduce something new, to introduce the world of life, to introduce the world of goodness, the world of sanctity, of holiness, good versus evil. So the Lamb comes to sacrifice himself for the destruction of sin, plural and yet singular,
right,
by introducing the life of God, the life of baptism to us. So it's a contrast, what John would often, the Gospel of John the Evangelist would speak of darkness and light, the contrast of these two. On the other hand, in other places in the liturgy, especially at the Lamb of God, we say, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, so that there's our individual sins. There's right. our, just before we are receiving communion, we are asking that he take away our sins, our personal sins, which are part and parcel of that world of sin, you know. But I think it's important for us to realize that we're both. We contribute to that sin of the world, but we also have our personal sins. And Christ came for both, to establish the new kingdom, the kingdom of goodness, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of love. And in establishing that, destroys the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin.
It's interesting because we say this at Mass and just assume that it's sins. So I know
we're
I'll personally pay attention to the difference between sin and sins.
Well, we get so used to that, you know, because with our confessing our sins, we're confessing our personal sins.
Right.
But we also have to realize that those personal sins contribute to the larger world of sin. We can easily condemn others for their personal sins, but we have to realize that we're all part, because we're human beings, there are no perfect people.
Right.
And so we all have personal sins, but in my personal sins, I'm contributing to the world of sin, in whatever, lack of charity. And I think this is so much, even with good people, people that are on the road to holiness, but there's so much criticism of other people because they're, and it's like the Pharisees that we see in the gospel. Thank God I'm not like them. Right. And that's sin. You know, that is sin in itself. It's contributing to that world of darkness, that world of sin. Sometimes we can be doing something that is good, but in doing something that's good, we might have a lack of charity for someone. In order to get my good project done, I'm criticizing, I'm stoning other people, and the world of sin continues. So the road to holiness, the road to goodness is very delicate, and that's why Jesus in the gospel said, before you take the splinter out of someone else's eye, take the plank out of your own. We can be blinded by our own goodness.
You mentioned a couple of weeks ago about judgment.
Yeah.
You know how
it's detrimental, really. And I think this distinction between sin and sins can help us bring that out. You know, it's not just my little personal sins. We're part of a bigger world of sin that we have to contribute to the redemption. We work with Christ because the Holy Spirit is given to us. So we need to back up and look at that distinction and do our part to overcome the world of sin.
We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Something new has come to Catholic education. It's called a Stream Fair. It'll take place on Saturday, February 15th at St. John Paul II High School campus on Saratoga Boulevard from 8 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. All 15 diocese schools have a team entered. Different grade levels will be assigned various projects which they will develop throughout the morning. Then from 11:30 till 12:30, each team will present its project based on assignment to the general public for viewing. By the way, the acronym STREAM stands for Science, Technology, Religion, Engineering, and Mathematics. The goal of STREAM projects such as this is to cause students to think, inquire, investigate, and innovate. To learn more about Catholic education, call the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Schools, 882-6191. Also visit diocesecc.org/schools.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, you were talking about the difference between sin and sins, and sin being that all-encompassing sin, and sins being our own individual sins. When you were mentioning about the all-encompassing sin, I was wondering, would that have to do with the violence that we have in the world?
Oh, sure. You know, everything.
Yeah.
The violence, terrorism, you know, but even, you know, you might think of pornography, of consumerism, individualism, so everything, you know, everything that is rooted in the heart of the human person who is not listening, really, to the life of God inside of them. And so it's a compilation of all our individual sins, you might say. And,
right.
And we all contribute. I remember when you brought that up, I remember a number of years ago when Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, was assassinated, and I was teaching a high school class, and I was probably reflecting on something or reading something. But anyway, I wrote a statement just kind of, with high school kids, you kind of get them riled up and then you can get them into conversation. But, you know, I said that the assassination of this president of Egypt was a result of sin. And if I then, as a person, hate my neighbor, I'm contributing to the death of Anwar Sadat. Well,
that opened it up.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it was like, I didn't do it. Well, no, you didn't do it. But that same kind of mentality, which we perpetuate in our own sins, mounts up and is compiled into a world of sin. And so we do, you know, very remotely, but we are part of that. So whenever there's violence in the world, and I continue to perpetuate violence in whatever form in my own life, then I'm contributing. Or if there's, if we experience hatred, and even, you know, in our own family or in our own neighborhood, a little bit of hatred, a little bit of prejudice, judgment, all those things, we perpetuate the world of sin, the singular,
right,
in that compilation. And what Jesus came to do was to break through that and to bring about the kingdom of justice, the kingdom of peace, which is the antithesis of the kingdom of sin. And so, as we're talking about this clarification of baptism today, it's to make that choice, a fundamental choice. Even though we sin in our individual sins, we make mistakes, we sin, we go backwards, but the fundamental choice is that I want to follow Christ. I want to be in his court, be on his team, and not the other. And that's the anchor that always brings us back. It's what brings us to the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance, to say, I'm sorry, my sins continue to contribute. I think it's something today that's very critical that all of us understand, that we're part of the whole. We're not just my individual personal sins. Yes.
In our little world.
In our little world, because it can really retract us into ourselves. You know, that I'm just confessing my little sin so that I can be holy and forget the rest of the world. No, my sins are a part of the world of sin, and it connects me to humanity in a negative way, and that's why we belong to a church. That's why we belong to the sacraments, because we are making that fundamental choice to follow Christ, his gospel, putting it into practice, and also receiving the grace of the sacraments. I have a little story which I could share with the listening audience today, and I've shared it a couple of times. I don't think I've done it here, but I think since we're on that topic, it really brings it out to me anyway. I was giving a retreat in a Muslim country, and the Christians there are a minority. But anyway, this young man picked me up at the airport, and he was a seminarian, a local seminarian, Christian Catholic, and he had a big scar on the side of his face. And as the week went on, I began to give the retreat to these seminarians. He approached me and he said he would like to tell me about the scar on his face. And honestly, I was curious. So anyway, he told me that he had worked in a marmalade factory, a jelly factory in this country. And that, of course, being in the minority as a Catholic Christian, he was surrounded by people of the Muslim faith, Islam. And the supervisor of this factory came up to him one day with a tremendous anger, saying that he had discovered that his faith, that he was Catholic and he was Christian, was studying to be a priest. And he asked him if it was true, and the young man said, yes, it was true. Well, it, for whatever reason, sin reigns everywhere. It's beyond religious boundaries. The man became just totally outraged and took a glass jar, broke it, and took the piece of glass and slit his face, creating this scar. And of course, you can imagine the everything that happened emotionally, spiritually to a young man like that, and psychologically, all those things. Sure. But obviously went home and was fired, and he went home and had to deal with it on many levels, medically, etc. But at a certain point, as he returned to the seminary, he met with his spiritual director and said, you know, I've got to face this because I live in this country. I'm a citizen of this country, and we have to face this. So he said, let's look at the gospel. So there you can see that transference from choosing a world of hatred, the world of sin, contributing to that world of sin, or transferring into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of love. So he happened to look at the gospel where Jesus said, if you're bringing your gifts to the altar and there you remember that someone has something against you, you go and be reconciled, which is something we probably miss. We always think, well, when they come and reconcile with me, then I'll think about it.
Right.
But Jesus says, no, you be proactive. You go and be reconciled. And so he said, I have to do that. If I really want to be a follower of Christ, I have to take the step to offset the sin. So he wrote the man a letter, and he said, whatever I did to make you angry to cause this, I want to apologize. And again, you think he really had no reason to do that, but that's what he did. And it was also the season of their holy days for Islam, so he said, happy Ramadan season, you know. Mm-hmm. So a few months later, he was at home for Christmas, and this gentleman came to the door of his family and knocked on the door, and the young man, the seminarian, came out, and the man had the letter that the seminarian had written, and he kind of shook it in his face, and he said, why did you write this to me? And he said, again, because I believe that God loves us all and that we are all in some way in God. We are all brothers at a very basic level. You know, we're all brothers. We're all loved by God. And the man began to cry. And he said, you know, fundamentally in my faith, I believe that too. And he said, you ask me for forgiveness, but I need to ask your forgiveness for what I've done to you. And then he handed him a package with two jars of marmalade from the factory as a Christmas gift and said, Merry Christmas to you, Happy Christmas to you. A real moment of breaking that cycle of sin by our personal sins. And it was done in the light of the gospel. But then I thought what was interesting at the end, the gentleman said to him, but your scar is permanent. How will you deal with that the rest of your life? And he said to him, when I look in the mirror every morning, I will see the scar for the rest of my life, but it will only remind me that you and I are brothers and that God loves us both. And they, you know, shook hands, and the story ends there. But I think the beauty of it for me was in reflecting that story, reflecting on that story then, also I still do today, that who did I meet at the airport that day? And really lived with for that next 5-6 days on the retreat and saw him all the time. He was a young man that was full of peace. He was very giving. He played the organ or the little instrument that they have at every event, every mass that we had. joyful, happy, because he broke the cycle of sin. This is my reflection, that really he said, I'm not going to give in to the world of sin, but I'm going to live in the world of light, which is the light of the gospel. I'm going to live that gospel to its fullest. If you're bringing your, in just one case, if you're bringing your gift and there you remember, go be reconciled. He did it. He didn't just think about it. He didn't say that was nice. He did it. And so by his action, by his life, he transferred himself. And hopefully that continues the rest of his life. I don't have any contact with him anymore, but to the kingdom of Christ and not the kingdom of sin. So I think it's a tremendous thing, a story of how we can continue our personal sins and we continue to build up the world of sin.
Right.
We make every effort to be enlightened by the grace of the Holy Spirit, which John's gospel speaks of today, listening to the words of Christ, doing the words of Christ, and we break the world of sin. We weaken it even more by living the kingdom of Christ.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, because it just puts the clarity together of really what we need to do in our own lives if we're faced with a situation. Of course, not as extreme of that, but where we are having difficulties with people, what
right.
we need to do.
And I think probably we would be more aware if we were aware of what we're doing in our personal sins, if we were aware of the world of sin,
right.
that it's not someone else's fault that there's violence in the world. It's not someone else's fault that there's all sorts of things that are against the goodness of the human being. It's our fault as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take kind of a collective responsibility to different degrees. I mean, I'm certainly not out murdering any, but my own sins, my own lack of patience, my own lack of goodness to people, in a sense, is a contributing factor
all
to the
culminates
world.
To yeah. the big picture.
So I think if we all take more responsibility for the world of sin and not taking responsibility for it in the sense of contribute, but responsibility of living our faith, living our baptism, we began to weaken the world of sin even more.
Mm-hmm.
And we're part of that life of redemption that Christ came to give us.
Right.
We need to be responsible with Christ, with one another, with the church. It's too easy to point fingers that somebody's not doing something, and then I'm sitting back doing nothing. We all need to be responsible to build up the body of Christ, which is the name of our beautiful diocese.
It is, and it's some wonderful things for us to put into action as we are in the middle of this new year. Bishop, if you could close today with a prayer and a blessing for us.
Sure. Father of heaven and earth, hear our prayers and show us the way to peace in the world. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and to all of our listeners this Sunday morning. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and have a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.